want to say this very gently to the worship team. Two things. One, I'm extremely grateful for you for flow today. Thank you. And secondly, I really love you. Don't go too far. I want you all to know something, and don't feel any pity or mercy. I'm not trying to solicit emotion. But I am not getting the pulpit till 11:26. And see that? There was no sorrow there. Which, Pastor, why would you announce that? Well, it's one of two things. It's either I really got to cut this short, or you really better get comfortable. Right? Because the word I'm going to declare today, at least to the best of my ability by the Spirit, is really going to require a supernatural investment. Well, that's true all the time, but today more so. Because of what the word is and how this word involves the Christmas season. And listen, if you haven't warmed up into Christmas yet, let the Lord just begin to stoke the flame in you. Because we typically think responsibility, but Christmas is about relationship. It's all about relationship. So I really want you to be impressed with something just for a minute. Not only did Deb and I go out and spend time together yesterday. Are you ready for this? I went with her. Here's the preposition. In to Hobby Lobby. I want to say right now, there's very, very few men in Hobby Lobby. They're either at Ollie's or they're over. I know why they put in Academy Sports two doors down. That's where all the guys are while the wife is in Hobby Lobby. Somebody is a marketing genius. But I want you to know, I stayed with her. I only lost her once in the store. And then we did Marco Polo and we found each other. Because she'll say, Polo, look, like I know her voice. And I was amazed at how polite and how gracious and how happy people were in Hobby Lobby yesterday. Yeah, isn't that great? There was no pushing, shoving. And what there was in that store, which you could feel in the environment, the background music was, I'm coming back to the heart of worship place several times, and I was like, yeah, baby. I don't know how many people in the room were Christians. Deb and I were in the checkout line and heard two women talking about where they were going to go eat. How many know shopping involves eating? This is why they put food courts in malls. Amen? You're welcome. Shopping involves, and they were talking. And I went, excuse me, where is this place? And then we got talking about it, and the one gal began to talk about, she goes, listen, I want to say to everybody I can this season. She goes, I am not afraid to tell people Merry Christmas. She said, I am not telling people Happy Holidays. And I really wanted to do that. You know, that really offends me. But I didn't, you know, it's Christmas season, so you want to be on best behavior. But she's going, I really believe it's Christmas. I don't think it's Happy Holidays. And I don't feel afraid to tell that. And even, ready for this? Here's what she said next. I am not making this up. I'm not embellishing this. And she goes, I know that television wants to make us think we're the minority, but I know full well we are the majority. And we believe in Christmas. And I looked at her, I said, I agree. Happy holidays. No, I said, you know, Merry Christmas. And I said, but I agree. But the environment that they were sharing was that this would be a really great Christmas season. And I want to tell you, the Christmas season has in it definite ingredients. But I want to go into a very, very clear aspect of Christmas that we need rebirth at Christmas, and we need that revelation to carry forward, because there's major elements in the Christmas story that the Spirit makes alive to us. And one of those is a word I want to share. And I want to tell you the difference between how we think about words and how Jesus thinks about words. I don't think this came to me in the first years of ministry. It's getting clearer now. You ever notice when Jesus taught, he didn't define words? Now, let me tell you the Greek rendering of the word heaven. let me give you the Hebrew of the word heaven. You ever notice we're the ones who define words? And part of that is our culture and climate and the way that a lot of our nation is much more in intellect, where other nations are more about heart. The Middle East is about feeling it and owning it. Like, I know this sounds funny because it is, but like when the book of Psalms, when David uses bowels of mercy, he's not talking bowels. It's a word my grandmother would use, and I didn't like the way she used it. But the way he used bowels is the idea of the center of digestion and health, and it's a core of your being. That we make righteousness a thing. They make righteousness, it's a deep sense of feeling and identity and ownership. And not only do I think righteous, I know I've been made righteous. It is an element, but it's a beyond an element. It's a way I live. How many know besides defining the love of God, you'd like to live in the love of God, right? How many people can define grace? Well, I know from Strong's Concordance, grace, the word charis in the Greek means unmerited, undeserved favor. How many know a lot of people don't live like they've got grace? Well, if I keep the rules and keep God happy and do my best, God will be okay with me. How many know God is okay with you right now? Anybody glad we live under grace and not law? Yes? Can I just see how many people in the room, in addition to me, we just couldn't cut it under the law. I could not keep it all going. How many would be bringing sacrifices regularly to the temple? Priest goes, you back again? Yeah, fourth time today. But how many know more than define grace, we want to live in grace? There's a word I want to give you, but I want to give it to you first as a picture, and then I'll define it. Because this is really getting with me about this. Jesus doesn't really define words. He gives pictures of words. You know what we call those? Parables. Who said it? Way to go, Bev. I'm a spiritual man sitting over there. Parables. I mean, you know, Jesus talked in pictures, right? If you take a seed, I get amazed of the miracle that's in seed. Isn't it amazing? You take a dried out seed, take it out of a packet or pull it out of something you've been eating, but you take a dried out old crusty seed, pull away some dirt, stick it in, cover it over, and give it some moisture. And how many know when you plant that seed, how many have an expectation? Does anybody besides me check on seeds when you plant them? You keep going back, come on, right? We do look, don't we? Somebody's behind you going, leave the seed alone. Why? It will not germinate if you keep checking on it. And I have been known at times to make sure I really did put beans in the bean row. You leave it alone. Why? Because with that seed, there's a built-in expectation that that seed in the ground will sprout. And over time, that sprout will become strong and will grow and begin to, ready for this, bear fruit. That'll come from planting to sprouting to growing to fruitfulness. That is the picture of the word hope. That is the picture of hope. Hope in our language is a wish. Like, I hope the people that did the weather this weekend are right. How many hope they're right? How many have a hope for something you might get for Christmas? Right? I hope. How many know you can only leave so many hints until hints become suggestion and suggestion becomes nagging, right? You can only drop so many hints what you want, but there's a hope in it. How many hope life is better in 2020 than it's been in 2019? These are good hopes. Let me tell you when God gives hope. When God gives hope, it is for certain of an expectation. I know He said it. I know he's developing it. I know he'll do it. And in time, I'll see it, is hope. Hope is a deep expectation that a seed has been planted that in enough time it will reveal itself. And I don't have to wish about it or try and just talk myself into it. Let me tell you what hope is dependent on. It is dependent on the faithfulness of God, that what he started, he'll finish. Jeremiah, just want to note the reference, Jeremiah 14:8. Jesus is called the hope of Israel. When Jesus was born, Israel was in great despair because of the Roman Empire and slavery and the constant struggle between a Roman government of utter control and pantheistic who believed in every kind of God and every kind of debauchery, with Israel seeking to believe in the Lord your God is one, the Shema of Deuteronomy 6. There was always a religious tension of people believing God in a total pagan society that was completely dominating them. And they would hold out for the hope of Israel, waiting for the Lord to come, who they expected to come in power and clean the slate, to overpower a tyrannical government rather than the babe coming in a manger, meek and lowly, that the real ground that Jesus takes is in the heart. Not overthrowing governments, he's overthrowing evil. Amen? And once the heart changes, the life changes. And they would hang on for that hope. Well, even when God has planted a seed, there's times that anybody in the room have a difficulty waiting at times? How many times we get tempted to help God out? Let me help you out a little bit. Let me tell you how good that worked out with Ishmael. I know you gave a promise to me and Sarah about the promise of a child to two people that would be unreasonable, but now it's going to take a miracle, and it seems like God's taken a long time, and now we'll just shortcut it. How many are glad that Ishmael and Isaac never have had contention, and that the Middle East is such a peaceful place today, and that the Arab nations are so content with having Israel right next door? Why? Because we're buddies. How many know Ishmael and Isaac is something everybody gets tempted to do, and then you hear the Spirit say, don't dig up the seed? And I want to give you what happens, what we do deal with hope. And it's in, if you want to note the reference, it's in Proverbs 13:12. Great verse to know. And it says, hope deferred. That's delayed. That says, I don't see it. I haven't had it refreshed in a while. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You ever been there where you have a pending promise? You have a pending hope. You know God told it to you. You didn't dream it up. You didn't fabricate it. God said, you can count on this. But in the delay, the heart goes, did you forget? Is the deal still on? Is it still good? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Look at these words. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Notice hope, a tree of life. Why? Because it started as a seed. I got some serious oak trees on and around my property. It's hard to believe they started as an acorn. But they did. Those mighty oaks started as an acorn. Guess what? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, come on, church, it's like a tree of life. Meaning that thing has been growing and putting down roots and getting ready for the day that it would be the strength of a tree. It takes time to grow trees. That's what hope is. Hope is that it's taking root, it's getting down in there, that it really is the life of God, and God wants to do it. But Luke chapter 2, we come into the Christmas story. Simeon has had a word in his spirit, because Luke records that Simeon was a man. Ready for this? You're going to like this. Are you ready? Simeon is a man full of the Holy Spirit. And God promised him you will not die until you see the face of the Messiah. I mean, like that for a word of hope. And he's a young man, and then his first gray hair shows up. Then a few more gray hairs, and then a couple of wrinkles. You know, don't get discouraged. Hang in there now. Come on. And he's aging, but there's a word of the Lord in his heart. You will not die until you see him the face of Messiah. Until you see the hope of Israel, you will not go to heaven. And they bring in Jesus to be circumcised on the eighth day. Guess where Simeon is? He's in the temple. Why? Because the Spirit is always very sure that if I've given you that word, I'll make sure you're there when I fulfill it. You should take that to the bank. If I've given you a word, I'll make sure you're there when I fulfill it. And in Luke chapter 2, they bring in the boy, and Simeon says, now my eyes have seen. I have just had my hope fulfilled, that I would not depart from this earth until the word, the seed that God put in me, I saw it with my own eyes. That was his hope-fulfilled moment. Let me ask you right now, you think it was worth it for the waiting time to see the Messiah in his arms face to face? Here is the hope of Israel. How about this? Right? Here's a message. You know the word I gave you about the Messiah? You are holding the word of God in your hands. That the word that became flesh in John 1, you are holding the word of God in your hands. The word is the word. His name is Jesus. It's a profound moment of fulfillment. Romans 15, 13 is a verse everybody would want to bank and put in their heart. It is one of these words that is profound all the time. It's one of the scriptures, I don't know where it is in my top 20, 50, 100, but it shows up a lot in my walk with the Lord, is Romans 15, 13. And the first word of the verse is now. Now, you want to hear one of the titles of the Lord? Now may the God of hope fill you, meaning I want to fill you again, with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How's that for a word? That you and I, in joy and peace, hope would be refreshed, that the God of hope would fill you and me, fill you. How many like to be filled today? With all joy and peace in believing that you could abound in hope. That's expectation by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's two things the Spirit wants to do right now. Here's a conviction I feel very deeply. I think church should always be about God. I do. But more importantly, I think church should be the presence of God. That just not to know about Him. I'd like to be in a place where I could know Him. Like this morning when we sang. Okay, nothing else. Now I know the title. Nothing else. Man, I had an encounter with the presence of God at nothing else. Just that, Lord, it is so true. Nothing else. Only you. You don't owe me anything. It's all you. I think this sanctuary should be place. We don't talk about God. It's a place we would encounter God. He's here. He would have all the room he needs to do what he wants to do and say what he wants to say. That it isn't, okay, you heard the message, now take him home and do something with it. It's, let's have an encounter here. And I'm going to ask you these next couple of minutes, would you ask him to give you a word of hope? Where do you need a word of hope right now? Is it your family? Is it your life? Is it decision making? We can go through a long list. I don't want to do the list. I want to do the invitation. Where do you right now need a word of hope? Over 2 decades ago, the Lord gave me a word of hope that he has kept refreshed. I haven't had to work at it. I haven't had to work hard at all because he's the one that once he gives a word of hope, he's the one that'll keep it alive. There's times I've had to talk myself into believing. There's other times God has carried me in believing. Hope is the carrying of believing. I'll carry you. Because I gave you that word, I'll sustain you in that word. And it was for one of my siblings that I knew at the time didn't know the Lord. And I have found a lot of hope is birthed in prayer. That when you have a desire, Lord, I have a real desire in this. And that desire opens now to divine moments that God can give hope. I began to pray for my sibling. Lord, would you bring him to me or bring them to you and help me do it? And I was praying and praying and praying. And he gave me a picture. That picture is alive today. He showed me a metal bucket. And that metal bucket was sitting next to a house with a spigot, a faucet coming outside like we all have on outside of our homes. And that spigot, that little faucet was dripping. Drip. Drip. And it was dripping into the bucket. And I was watching kind of a fast forward, that bucket was filling. It was collecting the water. This is what he said to me. When that bucket is full, it will spill over and your sibling will come to me because I am in their life, drop by drop, filling them with my love. How many know that's got to be a God word? That has got to be a God word. And he said, I'm just dripping into his life, drop by drop. Before you know it, it'll fill up and spill over, and he's going to come right into the kingdom. And don't you worry about it. You know, at that moment, I stopped striving. I go, God, please. It became, oh, this is a matter of fact. This is only a time issue. I'm going to keep praying, but I want to tell you, God is working on his bucket. How many know that word, once you have a word of hope like that, and you can, that word will hold you and sustain you. You ever pray for somebody, the harder you pray, the more they rebel? And you go, am I praying right? And the Lord goes, yeah, I'm just putting water in the bucket, and they're having a hard time with the bucket. I'm going to ask you in this moment, would you meet with the Lord right now? And I'm going to tell you why. Lord, where do you want to give me a word of hope? There's people in the room, the Spirit's going to give you a word of hope. You didn't even know you needed. That's one. You're going to get a word of hope. Secondly, there's people in the room, he's going to refresh a word of hope he's given you a season ago. Two things are going to happen by the Spirit for you. You're going to get a word of hope you really need. They usually sound like this. I'm going to do this. You can count on this. You will live to see this. And then there's others. He's given you a word of hope, but you need to get the dust off it. That was a word of the Lord to you, and you can count on him that he's faithful and true to do. Okay? So I need to see action right now. How many would open to the Spirit right now and meet with the Holy Spirit and let him talk to you? How many would? Let me see. Let me see. This is a room for the Spirit to talk to us. Holy Spirit, as we meet with you right now, you set this moment up. This is not a word to talk to, just to talk to people. This is an opening to a divine moment where desire gets divine word and divine word becomes a developing seed. Would you meet with them?